Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to my home here in beautiful, the most awesome city in the world, Houston, Texas. Welcome to Breaking the Silence. My name is Greg Williams. Great to have you here in my home. We are going to be sharing with you an awesome guest, a young man that has decided to start changing his world and doing his part in the world that ought to motivate us and inspire us to do maybe something outside of our zone, of our mindset, in our own world. So I'm anxious to get him on here just in a few seconds. But I just want to let you know that we have finally arrived back with power in Houston. That's what the medical center looks post Hurricane Beryl. And it doesn't look too bad. The power's on, the lights are on. No streets are flooded right now, but it sure took us a week or two. So thank you for allowing us to do repeats for the last couple weeks. Radio station's up and running. Everybody is doing, I think, as safely and as calmly as we can after what we had of a hurricane that we thought was just going to be a little rainstorm that ended up being more of a windstorm than what we even anticipated. I'm from Southern Illinois. I'm not used to this hurricane stuff, and I've been here since 2010. And 2010, so I'm here 14, going on 15 years, and hurricanes still kind of throw me off, but we sure underestimated that one. So I sure hope that everybody's safe and sound and back to somewhat normalcy in your world. We're going to do like we always do. We're back on Facebook too. So we are being heard completely around the world through the radio station. And you can also get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And I don't know how many other platforms that we're live on tonight. And then in the next week or so, next few days, we'll be in the podcast world. And between me and you, I don't even know how that works. I'm not very techy, but apparently you can get on this and just say, "Hey, Siri, play Breaking the Silence." And oh, she's trying right now. I shouldn't have done that. And it'll play this right now that we're doing tonight right on your Apple iPhone. So, we'll be doing that. It'll be around Tuesday or Wednesday when you have access to this in the archive world, in the podcast world. And I appreciate TJ and Don and Doug and all of them, all the Hee-Haw gang at the BBS radio station to do that. There's several different ways to get involved tonight. One is 888-627-6008. And it looks like we have, according to my text, several people that are already on and saying, "Hey, they can't wait and good to have us back being live." You can also get on the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook. You can comment there. We have people there watching too. Or you can just text me, 832-396-6525. I'm probably the only goofy enough guy in the world that gives out my cell phone number, my personal cell phone number, to everybody around the world. So you can text me anytime and I'll try to respond to you. But if you have a question about tonight as we are live, feel free to do that. And at the bottom of the hour, in the next probably 20, 25 minutes, I will check that and then we'll report that to our guest this evening and ask that question or say that comment that comes from you. I have been traveling crazy around the country, around the state, been to South Padre Island, just came back from Tulsa, had a great visit up at the Hope Summit and I love that name, Hope Summit Conference, and it went great. And I hope we have some of those folks on tonight because I advertise the radio show and hope they are here. They are welcome, and thank you for making me and my bride feel so welcomed and family at that summit. And then this coming week, I'll be traveling north of Dallas, Texas, to speak at an anchored conference for teachers. And we'll be speaking to hundreds of people all day Thursday and all day Friday about different things. And that I speak on about abuse, about anxiety, about toxic stress, about the flight, fight modes, and the freeze mode and the fawn mode, and all those things that we deal with when we go through trauma. And even though you can see the sun kind of going down back behind me here over Houston, Texas, I want you to see above that those clouds. As I kind of do my intro here, those clouds do not only represent tonight what's going on in the physical world above Houston, Texas. It could be describing, possibly even forecasting what's going on in your world tonight. I've always said for years that you're either in the middle of a storm, emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, financially, or you've just got out of a storm. And if neither one of those affect you, and you're not in one of those two places, tighten your seatbelt because you're fixing to go into a storm. Those are only three places that you can be in tonight. You're in a storm, just got out of a storm, or you're fixing to go into storm. And what that is called is life. And I want to just kind of from my book, When the Dark Clouds Come, and here's the little dark clouds at the top that kind of represents what's going on right here in the physical world out there. I want to just kind of read a couple of paragraphs from this, and then we're going to bring our guest in. And one of the mile markers that I have in chapter 11, that's entitled From the Outside Looking In, it mentions at the very beginning that pain is real, but I want to let you know so is hope. Pain doesn't tell you where you ought to stop, when you ought to stop. Pain is the little voice in your head that tries to hold you back because it knows if you can continue, you will change. Pain is temporary. Quitting is forever. And if you don't deal with your demons, they're going to deal with you, and it's going to hurt. How do you deal with what you have to experience and handle in life? And without going in, and isn't that sun going down beautiful behind me? Without going into detail about my world, because I talk about my pain and anxiety and Lou Gehrig's disease and everything that I'm going through in my past of trauma and being abused, I want to turn it back to you. There's days that you may feel darkness, pitch black, high winds, rain pouring out of the sky at a breathtaking pace, the thunder roaring, lightning hitting the ground after one, after another, after another. And you may feel like the physical floods are rising, but even more so, the emotional flood is starting to get to where you are starting to snort in and bring in water. And when you get to that point, what do you do emotionally? How do you handle that? And a couple of things I just want you to kind of jot down as we go into a new week. Because literally, I have to do this sometimes every day, sometimes every hour. And sometimes I need to write it on a sticky note to where I can see it on my computer screen at the office, and it's right there so I can look at it. First thing is, there's a couple steps. I have to be patient with myself. I'm only human. when you're experiencing a major disruption in your life, don't be so judgmental on yourself that you become your worst enemy. You have to have that self-care. You have to have that compassion and that love and that empathy for yourself. Sometimes we do this to people that we don't even know. Strangers in the hallway will open up a door for them. Hey, good morning. Y'all doing okay? And we won't do that to our own family. We'll walk on in and let the door slam in their face. But even more so, we do it to ourselves. We just don't take care of ourselves in a proper way. And trauma causes thoughts, nerves, plans, and our dreams to become really fragile and brittle at times. So it's important, very important, to be patient with yourself. Number two, take care of yourself. Take a step back and make sure you're doing the right things for you. If everything you're doing in life is to make somebody else happy, you're not living the plan that God has designed for you. You have to be your own creator of where you want that game plan to be. Don't just do things to make other people satisfied, because you're going to let them down, because they're going to try to control and manipulate. And I guarantee you, their plan for you isn't what the design and the ultimate creator has planned for you. It's more likely something that's going to benefit them and not you. Thirdly, I only have a couple more, so hang with me. Try to be kind to yourself. Remember on so many occasions when I was dealing with abuse as a teenager, I would act out towards myself, and the world became more damaging to me. And I can see how people start hurting themselves. I can see how people start cutting themselves. I remember pulling my hair out in the mirror, looking at myself, wondering, how am I going to get through this evening? How am I going to get through this pain? And you need to stop that and just breathe. Take a step back. Get it back under control. Even though in the middle of a storm, drop that anchor in something that you have confidence in somebody that you have trust in. A higher power, whatever it is in you, but drop the anchor in something that you know is immovable and will not be tossed when you are emotionally. And the last thing, be honest with yourself. Don't deny what's going on. Don't deny your pain. It's not going to make it go away. Be completely open and honest with what's going on in your world. Baggage started dropping off me when finally I admitted, this is what's happened to me. I don't want to hide it anymore. I need to deal with it. I need to face it. And I have the resilience inside of me to overcome it and defeat it and be stronger and even try to help as many people as I can with the days that I have left on this earth to be able to help them out. And along in that journey, grab their hands and say, hey, let's take whatever we're going to be able to be on this journey together with for these next few steps or few miles, few days, few minutes, few months, few years, whatever it is. What can I learn from you? And what can you learn from me? And I hope those few things helped you as we're trying to overcome. You may be what TJ was talking about, dealing with the fires in California. You may be having your own devastation in your own private life right now. Don't give up on hope, folks. It's there. Hang tough, drop the anchor, and let's learn and lean into each other. With that thought in mind, I want TJ to bring in our guest this evening. It is with great honor and respect that I have our guest tonight, Steve Hoffman. And, you know, Steven hasn't even graduated high school yet. And look at him. Look how young and innocent this young man looks. I believe, Steven, you're 16 years old. Is that correct?
Yes.
16 years old, and he lives in the state of New York, and he is there, and he is already contributing in such a huge way of being more sustainable future through his nonprofit organization called Growing Peace. With the $80,000 he's raised since launching the organization, he has brought hydroponic growing systems into a population in need around the world. I don't even know what that word means, but we're fixing to find that out. And he has become a receiver of the CNN Heroes 2023 Young Wonder Award and also the Dillertine Tycoon Alum Award. And I guess he's going to explain that to me. I don't know what all those means, but people are starting to recognize his efforts of what he wants to do at this young age. And at 16, I was just trying to figure out how can I get that girl across the aisle to go out with me. He's doing things to help change the world. So, Stephen, welcome to the program tonight. It's great having you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Stephen, if you would, I want to just give you a couple minutes just to tell me about you, tell the world about what you're doing, who you are, where you're at, what's going on in your world, and let's just talk about what's going on inside of your head that's caused you to create this nonprofit. But go ahead, just if you would, just give me a quick introduction of who you are and what you're doing.
Sure. So, hi, my name is Stephen Hoffman. I am 16 years old and I'm from New York City. Some of my biggest hobbies are I like playing board games with my brother and with my family. I like playing sports like squash with my brother. But I'm sure what you're more interested in is the nonprofit that I founded called Growing Peace Inc., which installs hydroponic farming systems in communities in need to both help alleviate food insecurity and help alleviate climate change.
Okay, so this nonprofit that you have helps food insecurity?
Yes.
Explain that to me, like I'm a third grader. What does that actually mean? What if you had to say, hey, Growing Peace Inc. is about this? This is your elevator speech. What is it that you designed this nonprofit to be able to accomplish in our world?
Okay, so the primary goal of Growing Peace Inc. is to use the implementation of farming systems, advanced farming systems, which are called hydroponic systems, in order to have these systems installed in communities in need so that these communities can create their own little mini food production system in their own community to be able to alleviate the food insecurity that exists in that community in a sustainable way.
Okay, how does, so excuse my ignorance, but I think probably everybody that's listening in has no idea what this is. How does that hydroponic growing system work? Do you grow up on, are you living on a farm right now? Do you know about farming? Is it about vegetables and things of that order? Or what are we actually talking about to bring food into a community, into a family's life?
Yeah, so hydroponic systems are hydroponic farming in general is a very new, well, not super new, but comparatively new to regular agriculture method of farming, where in regular agriculture, you have these seeds and you plant them into soil, and that soil contains the nutrients that the seeds need to grow into big plants. But instead, in hydroponics, we don't use any soil at all. Instead, what we do is we take this nutrient-rich water. So this water that has a huge concentration of the nutrients that you would normally find in soil, and you pass that water through the roots of the plants in order to provide plants with the food that they need to grow. And so because of this, we can grow food vertically. We can stack these hydroponic systems, and this provides a lot of different benefits. Hydroponics are much more sustainable. They use 80 to 90% less water than traditional farming. Since you can grow vertically as well, they are perfect for urban areas without a lot of space. And since hydroponics can be grown indoors, not only do they not use any pesticides or herbicides, since they're not trying to chew away any bugs, but you can also grow throughout the entire year and at 3 to 4 times the pace of traditional farming.
Well, I can tell everybody in just a few minutes that I have met you, Stephen, you have way more intelligence than I do in probably everything, because unbelievable. How did you come up with this, or how did you find out about it? What was it that piqued your interest of saying, hey, wait, there's got to be a better way, especially urban areas? I got to go a couple miles before I can see farmland because I'm all in concrete around here and you can see the skyscrapers around me. How can I, if I needed to be able to provide family with food, how would that benefit somebody in me? And how do you work that in into an urban environment?
Okay, so I'll answer the first question first. So how I originally got into hydroponics was a visit to an organization in Israel that I did during the summer of 2019.
Okay, in 2019, you went to Israel?
Yes.
Now, is it my understanding, I hate to interrupt you, is it my understanding that Israel probably has the most intelligent people on the face of this earth that are creating things that other countries haven't even thought of yet? In such a, did you find that when you went over there? It was like, wow, where did this information come? Is that kind of what was your experience over there?
Yeah, I had a bit of that experience. They have, because of Israel's climate especially, a lot of the innovation that they tried to do focuses around sustainable agriculture, because there is the amount of fertile land that they have there to grow food is becoming less and less because of exacerbating climate change. And so they have to, they're forced to basically create new innovations in sustainable agriculture. And so what I did in Israel was I visited an organization called Sindiana of Galilee. Now, they are not a particularly agricultural organization. Their mission is actually to try and create peace between the Jewish and the Arab populations in Israel by engaging women from each group in different sorts of activities, hoping that they would collaborate with one another and peacefully coexist. And so I was so inspired by Sindiana's mission when I visited them that a summer later, during the summer of 2020, I created a documentary film called Growing Peace in the Middle East that focused on Sindiana's efforts and especially highlighted their newest project, which is called the Hydroponics Project. So this is how I initially got introduced into hydroponics, because Sindiana, in way before I was in hydroponics, they were already installing hydroponic systems in the homes of Jewish and Arab women. And then they set up basically an online platform where these women could share tips with one another and share pictures of what they're growing and basically grow a community together to create peace between the two communities. So I made that film, and ever since then, I've been just captivated by this technology and by its various benefits.
Okay, so that was 2020. When did you, after doing that documentary, which how does at that point, you must have been 2020, 12. Four, 12 years old, 13 years old?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Was you even in high school yet, Stephen?
Maybe I was going into eighth grade, maybe, I forget.
So you're doing a documentary on this. Was it for a science fair or something in school, or is it just something that was kind of dropped in who you are, in your DNA, of saying there's something bigger in me?
I think it was entirely self-initiated, but I think we were in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic at the time. And so I didn't want to just waste all the free time that I had, because, I had a bunch of free time. I didn't know what to do with it. And I had a particular interest in filmmaking, because at the time I was watching a bunch of, do you know David Attenborough? He makes like these nature documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was watching some of those nature documentaries, and I loved the way he commentated over the scenes of wildlife and things like that. So I grew an interest in filmmaking, and I was also inspired by Sim Dion's mission. So that's what led me to create the film.
And how long is this documentary?
It's, I think, almost exactly 17 minutes, I think.
Okay. And when do you produce this? Did you do it on the iPhone? I mean, when I was your age, I was watching, when I was 12 years old, I was watching cartoons, Gilligan's Island. You're sitting here making movies. Did you do it on your phone, or did you actually have a video camera, or what kind of system did you have for the documentary?
Yeah. So we were in the middle of COVID. So all the people that I was interviewing were in Israel, involved with Sindiana or involved with partner organizations. So I couldn't actually go there and film them in person. So what we ended up doing is similar to what we're doing right now. I did video interviews. I transcribed those interviews all through my laptop, basically. And then I recorded voiceovers and I edited it on my own on a video editing software.
And is that documentary still available to view?
Yes.
And where can I see that if I want to watch that?
You can actually just go to my website. It's my organization's website, but also features the documentary, growingpeaceinc.org.
And Growing then, Peace Inc. I-N-K? I-N-C?
And yes.
I-N-C
and
dot
then,
org. Growing
it's like
Peace Inc. I-N-C dot org.
Yeah. And then
Okay.
just in the menu bar, there's like a documentary and then you can watch the documentary there as well as the trailer.
Okay. After you did the documentary and you posted and you interviewed all these people, you went to Israel and you got this inner interest. I mean, I guess that's one thing good that's come out of COVID. You had the time and the wherewithal to do something like this. So the documentary's made. What do you do with it after that? Do you automatically just say, hey, guys, look what I did, boom? Or what was the next steps? Was Growing Peace nonprofit already organized and set up by then, or is that later on?
Yeah, so I finished the document. I finished the documentary around March of 2021-ish. And so after that, I was applying to different film festivals, trying to get media and press attention for the documentary. But at the same time, I was looking back at Israel and looking into different projects that I could do there because I was still so inspired by Sindhyan, but also with hydroponic farming. And I wanted to do my own hydroponics project. And so I partnered later in the year during August, I had my bar mitzvah actually when I was 13. So I managed to raise the funds to install my first hydroponic system at a food pantry in Israel. But it's not a regular food pantry. It started up during COVID. And what it actually does is it services Eritrean and Sudanese asylum seekers who come into Israel hoping for a better life and they're fleeing their countries. But unfortunately, since they don't have citizenship, they don't get access to the same health and Medicare and food benefits that regular citizens might. And so this food pantry was for them to provide them with produce so that they could sustain their families. And so I installed my first hydroponic system there later that year.
What kind of space is needed for this hydroponic system in a in an urban area? Are we talking about a large square footage amount that's required, or can it be relatively done in a small space?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest benefits of hydroponics is that because you don't have to use soil, you can actually grow produce vertically. You don't have to do on just a single plane. You can stack these hydroponic systems and take advantage of another dimension up and down. And so because of that, you can grow a lot more food in a much smaller area with hydroponics than you could ever do with traditional agriculture. And that's what makes hydroponics so good for urban areas. And one of the benefits of that, of growing food in urban areas, is that with hydroponics, you can create a whole food production system, which actually is more sustainable than is more sustainable because you don't have to you don't have to sacrifice all of these carbon emissions that's coming from importing food from other states or other countries. And instead, you can just grow food locally, which is also fresher and healthier too.
Are you growing something right now in your home?
I don't have a hydroponic system, unfortunately, in my home. I wish I did, but yeah, no.
Is this something that somebody like me can actually do? If I say, hey, wait, and tell me, well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. On the other side of this break, because we have to get the break in now, I want to ask you about what plants are best suitable for this type of system, what the organization's all about. I also want to kind of not get political. I just want to hear your views of what's going on in that part of the world right now. Just, you know, how devastating that is to you and your faith and your beliefs. And then just find out more about these systems. And this is fascinating. You are an unbelievable young man. Hang with us, 888-627-6008. And we will be right back after this commercial break. Do not leave us. We're going to be back in about a minute and 22 seconds. Hang with us. We are back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
I'm sitting here just shaking my head. We have a guest, Stephen Hoffman, that is just absolutely brilliant. This growing piece nonprofit, Stephen, has developed, according to my notes, 4 gardening systems, 1 in Tel Aviv, 3 in New York City. And the Tel Aviv system feeds up to 600 families of asylum seekers twice a month, with more than 2,100 servings of fresh food. That's just a Tel Aviv one. The New York City ones produce up to 1,800 pounds of yearly produce, more than 6,300 servings of fruits and vegetables every year. This isn't something that's this size and I can just grow a cucumber. This is feeding an unbelievable amount of people. How excited does this make you feel?
It's super exciting to me. But also, just as an FYI, we actually recently, just a couple of days ago, we installed our 6th system sort of like a community center. It's called the Common Point Queens Youth Opportunity Hub. And so that adds another couple thousand servings per year to that grand total. I'm super excited about that project. So now we have 6 systems total. But just these systems are super exciting for me to work with personally and for me to install, just because I've been volunteering. I have volunteered about 3 of them so far. I can't volunteer at the one in Israel, but I've been volunteering at 3 of them, and I get to meet new people, and I get to work with people on the farms, teach people how to use the hydroponic systems, and just donate produce to communities in need. And that's the most exciting part for me.
And some of these apparently are in the prison systems. Is that correct? So you're helping to feed The prison systems in New York City?
Yes, so we have one system which we installed in July of 2022, not at a prison, but at the Ladies of Hope Ministries Hope House, which is basically a house slash facility for women coming out of incarceration to help them get settled, find education, find jobs. And then we recently just installed a new one this year in 2024 in March at the Edgecombe Residential Treatment Facility, which is a minimum security prison up in Harlem that is for people who are doing their last, I think, 6 to 12 months, maybe, or 3 to 12 months of incarceration, and who want the opportunity to get back out into the community and to use the time that they have while in prison to actually potentially get a job or get education. And so those are the two that are connected to incarcerated individuals or formerly incarcerated individuals.
What's your mom and dad think about this? Or are they just sitting back, shaking their head, going, where did this boy come from?
I think I'm very grateful to have parents who are very supportive of what I do. I think I'm happy. You know, I think they're proud of me, and that makes me happy. But yeah.
Unbelievable. This is fascinating. And tell me what kind of vegetables, plants, vegetation is the most adaptable to this type of growth? There obviously, can you grow anything you want to, or are there just certain types of food that is more palatable for this?
Yeah, so you can grow a lot of different stuff. Basically, you can grow basically anything that grows from the ground, except, interestingly enough, dill, because that poisons the water system. But you can basically grow anything that you can grow from the ground, but you can't grow things like apples from trees and stuff like that. So with our systems, we generally start the communities that we work with. We generally start them off with simpler produce like kale, basil, lettuce, other leafy greens like that, mint, cilantro, collard greens. And then once they get a little bit more used to the system and get a little bit more educated on how to maintain it in the long run, we can actually then move to fruiting crops. So things like strawberries, cherry tomatoes, cucumbers, even small melons. So yeah, you can grow a bunch of different stuff, leafy greens and fruiting crops, basically anything you want.
So obviously things like corn, you wouldn't be able to because of the height of those.
Yeah. So corn, anything
that grows
you can't grow anything that grows from a tree. And you can't really grow things that grow out of large bushes either, but you can grow basically anything that grows from the ground mostly.
Okay. So things, because it's in the absence of soil, correct?
Yes.
So you can excuse my ignorance. You could grow a radish?
A radish, you might be able to. I can check on that for you. But
a potato?
The things that
typically are underground, a carrot.
I think if you had things that have really complicated underground root systems, I think like carrots and things like that, those are going to be a lot more difficult to grow in hydroponic systems.
So basically more above ground or more successful types of vegetation like lettuce, cucumbers, things that are that's above the ground that doesn't use.
Yeah, like super intricate and large mass root systems.
So when you're looking at this, are the containers that hold these plants, are they clear? So you can actually see the root system or no?
No. So we use a thick plastic. It would be cool if it was clear, actually. Maybe I can invent one like that. But so you can't see them exactly, but you can actually pull each individual plant out if you wanted to just inspect the root system quickly.
And you can pull it up and then just drop it back in the water.
Sort of. So our towers are, I don't have like a picture or anything, but basically it's like a long cylindrical tube that shoots up from the ground It has like a little water container at the bottom that pumps water up and then it trickles down. And then on the sides of the tube are little pots, the little holes in the tower where you just pop the plant in and then you can easily just extract them, check the roots, and then just pop them back in.
So right in this tower, you could have all these different types of plants, because back in, in our days in Southern Illinois, when you grew cucumbers in one patch, strawberries in the next, and then you would alternate because the nutrition you wanted to redo that soil. You don't have to have that type of system with this kind because it's all being fed through the water, right?
So you certain plants actually. So the main two things that you actually have to pay attention for when it comes to the water in hydroponics is the pH, so the acidity level, and then the EC, which is basically how much plant food, how many nutrients we put into the water. And so unfortunately, certain plants do require higher or lower pHs than other plants, and certain plants do require higher or lower ECs than other plants. So we can't necessarily grow multiple plants in a single tower unless they have multiple different types of plants in a single tower, unless they have those similar ranges. But if they do, then we can absolutely grow whatever, kale and lettuce in the same tower, for
Wow.
example.
Now, when you created this nonprofit, did you basically do all of this single-handedly? Did you have another couple students in your class or somebody else besides your mom or dad that was kind of help? Who assisted you, or did anybody? This was all your own. How did that work?
It was really all me. I was actually during I created it during the summer of 2021, and that's actually when I was moving schools. So I used to go to a school in Manhattan, but now I go to school in the Bronx. So I was moving schools and everything, but it was just me, except for my mom, who, I mean, I'm not old enough to set up a bank account or anything to receive donations, or file any legal paperwork to file for 501c3 status. So my mom helped me out with some of that legal stuff, but it was just me for the most part.
And how long has the nonprofit been up and running?
We're coming up on our 3 year anniversary, I think.
Wow.
Sometimes.
And CNN, how did they recognize you, and how did that even come about of them saying, "Hey, Stephen, we want to know more about your project, and we want to now recognize and acknowledge and award you with this prestigious award"? How did that come about?
It's actually a really funny story. So I have no idea. I did not fill out any. There is a nomination form if you would like to nominate somebody, but to my knowledge, to the extent of my knowledge, I don't know that anybody nominated me. I would like to thank them if they did, if they're watching this, but I don't know if anybody nominated me. One day they just called up my mom's phone number. She was totally freaked out. She didn't know how they got her phone number. They have some kind of database or something. And they got her phone number, and they just called her up, and they said that we want to let you know that your son, we want to give your son this award. And so that was pretty awesome. And then a few months later, they did an interview, and they did like a photo session, portraits and things like that. And finally in December, I think December 12th of 2023, I think there was the final award ceremony when me and the other young wonder, and then the 12 hero, 10 heroes, sorry. We did that with him. It was
So
really great.
you're one of 10 or one of 12?
Well, I'm one of two
One
young
of two.
wonders. That's they're below 18, and then there are 10 heroes, which are
Wow.
like above 18.
And where was that ceremony held at, Stephen?
The American History Museum, actually, I think, in
In
New
what state?
York,
It was
Manhattan.
in New York. Okay.
Yeah, it was a quick drive for me, which was nice. Some other people had to fly in, but yeah.
Fantastic. Wow. What are you hoping that now that you've got six of these systems, is all the ones in the United States in the New York area?
Yeah, so we
Are you
have
hoping this goes countrywide?
I'm honestly hoping that potentially we can branch out. Do this in other states. Obviously, We're already doing it in different parts of New York City, but we want to be able to do this in different states because New York City does have a huge food insecurity crisis, but so do a bunch of other states in the United States and a bunch of other places in the world. But yeah, we're really hoping to create as much of an impact in the communities that need it most.
Now, if I was a governor of a state and I was just by chance tripped on this program and stopped and listened, I would think, hey, we could use this type of system. Have you been contacted by anybody in the government agencies and the state agencies of saying, hey, we want to pick your brain? How can you help us do what you're doing and recreate this for our own communities that need this help?
Honestly, I wish, because that would be a super awesome opportunity. And it would make things a lot easier on my part when it comes to building connections and things like that. That would be an awesome opportunity. But as of right now, we don't have any particular government connections or anything.
But you would be open to that?
Yeah, for sure. That would be awesome.
So you would want to share this wisdom with anybody that could use it, and you would help them with that?
Yeah, definitely. And I would be open to installing a system in wherever place they think needs it the most, whether or not that's fine.
Fantastic. I can see the entire federal prison system wanting to get involved in this, because the cost of this must be considerably less, right, than
yes.
Farming and tilling has to be. And no, there's no pesticides involved.
No pesticides.
It's organic.
Yeah. So we're actually going to, we've used the connections that we've made at the Edgecombe Residential Treatment Facility, which we installed the system there in March of this year. We're actually going to, we got connected with the superintendent of the Queensboro Correctional Facility, which is another prison that we're going to be installing hydroponic system at later this year, hopefully. And so the superintendent there is super excited, and we're also super excited to install a system there. And hopefully that will give us even more connections to different prisons in New York. And
so tell me, if I could, let me just get inside of that awesome brain of yours. What's your game plan of what you hope this becomes? I mean, here you are, you're getting ready to start your junior year in high school.
Yeah.
What are you hoping that this does when you know, in the next few years, short-term plans, and then the ultimate long-term dream of this?
So I guess what I really want to accomplish is just a couple things. First of all, obviously, I want to continue expanding the organization, get as many systems out there as possible, provide as much education on hydroponics and on climate change as possible, and just alleviate food insecurity in my local area and in New York and around the world as much as possible, just to do my part to help the world. And then aside from that, when it comes to really, really long-term goals, I'm hoping to build a youth-led board of directors that can help oversee the projects, hoping to bring in some people from different states, maybe from different countries, to help oversee projects in their local area, maybe set up different chapters and things like that to really help expand Growing Peace to out of New York. And I think creating a board of directors, that's a project that can really help us do that.
How about like the 4-H clubs and things of that order that I remember as in high school? Wouldn't it be neat if they jumped on board with this and embraced this? Are you familiar with them?
I actually don't. What do you mean 4-H
club? 4-H is an agricultural group. FFA, Future Farmers of America. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Things of that order that every high school has, at least in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's around the country. If they can just get involved in this, and that would be huge to teach young people in high school all about it.
Yeah, definitely. That would definitely help us expand our impact. But just, I mean, it's not all about our impact. It's about trying to teach as many kids about sustainable practices and sustainable agricultural methods. And hydroponics is just one part of that.
Yeah. In the last minute or two that we have, if people want to get involved with listening tonight and say, hey, I want to know more about this guy. I want to know more about this. How can I help this growing peace initiative? How can I help this nonprofit? What is there places where people can give, donate, since it's a nonprofit and all it's going, you're highly accountable for all those funds and it's going to help other people. What, how can they get involved? What's the best thing they can do to help you?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess the primary place you would want to go is our website, growingpeaceinc.org. There it has our whole story, all of the projects that we do, the impact that we're making, and then all of our social media accounts if you want to look, check out some of those. But it also has a donate page if you're interested in giving to help support the initiative. And yeah, so that's kind of like the primary hub where you would get information about all of our current initiatives and some of the, I guess, media interviews like we're doing right now.
Fantastic. Steven, I tell you, I am inspired. I hope everybody else is listening to the show, as I'm sure they are too. With what you see going on in this last 30 seconds we have, what's your hope and prayer for what happens in that part of our world that you may know since you've been there? We don't, because we're here and just the media probably has it all blown out of proportion and different things. But what's your hope and prayer of what happens in that part of the world in Israel?
My hope and prayer, honestly, is that coming back to Sindiana, which is where it all started. That was my original inspiration. I really hope it's been a tough time for Sindiana because people are much less willing to support their initiative now. And it's become more like it's become, whether you support Israel or you support Palestine, there's no in between. And so what I really hope is that Sindiana and organizations like it that are trying to promote peace and peaceful coexistence and peaceful collaboration between the two communities, I'm hoping that those organizations will thrive, especially in times like these, where we need those organizations to thrive and we need people who are willing to come together and talk and have peaceful discussions. I'm hoping that those organizations will thrive and will continue their success.
Wow. Stephen, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being exactly who you are. You're using your given DNA that has going to be changing people's lives and already has literally around the world, and accolades to you. And I'm sure there's many, many, many more coming in the future. Come back and visit, would you? If you have something you want to talk about, share about, I'd love to have you back on and find out how things are progressing in the entire United States and around the world with this. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And thank your mom and dad for sharing you with us tonight and the world. I appreciate that. Thanks, mom and dad, for growing a son that is second to none. I appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you so much.
As we like to end each and every program, wow, I'm just sitting here shaking my head, go, wow. I was watching Bugs Bunny being chased by Wile E. Coyote. Unbelievable. Isn't it amazing what technology, what wisdom, what knowledge we have access to, and then somebody can just tap into that and feed thousands of people. Unbelievable at his young age. It can happen with you too. No matter what you're dealing with in life, no matter what's happening in your world, in your home, in you, in your state, in your community, in your nation, I want you to know to never give up on hope. There is always, always hope. Join us next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence. And we're going to be in the next week or two celebrating our fifth anniversary, 5 years of being on the radio show. So the next couple of weeks, don't miss. Be with us, and we'd love to share some highlights and awesome moments of the last 5 years. Stephen, you have been a highlight of our interview. So thank you so much, and thank you for being with us. God bless. Have an awesome week. Stay safe and keep hanging on to the hope. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.